Welcome to Gospel-Centered Living, the radio ministry of Christ Community Church in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like information about our church or would like to download any of our messages, our website is cccTucson.org. We hope you'll worship with us on Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. or join us on Wednesday nights at 6:30 for Bible study. We pray that today's message will help you grow in your relationship with Christ and in the knowledge of His perfect Word, the Bible. Let's join Dr. Stephen Ingino, the lead teaching pastor of Christ Community Church, for part one of this message from God's Word.
In the 1990s, there was a popular TV show called Early Edition. It was about a young man named Gary who regularly received the next day's newspaper a day ahead of time, which is why the tagline of the show was, "What if you had tomorrow's news today?" Because he knew the future, Gary tried each episode to save people from a tragedy or prevent some disaster from happening. So if he read about a fire in a building, he tried to keep people from entering it. Or if someone was going to be murdered, he tried to prevent the encounter from taking place. And the TV show reminds me of the blessing of prophecy. We who hold God's word in our hand have an early edition of future events. Or as one writer said, prophecy is history written in advance. We have God's prophetic plan for history and eternity in the Bible, the early edition, if you will. But we've been given this revelation not to satisfy our curiosity, but to shape our character. God has given us a glimpse into the future, not to tickle our ears, but to turn our feet. God has revealed the future to us so that we'll learn to live in light of the future. So why is Bible prophecy so important? What are some practical reasons to study Bible prophecy? What is the prophet of prophecy? This morning I'm going to share 9 reasons why prophecy is crucial for us as a church and as individual Christians. There's an old Fleetwood Mac song entitled "Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow." And I hope by the end of this message you'll see that really that's a biblical principle. God has so much to say about the future and gives such a priority to prophecy that Christians should never stop thinking about tomorrow or the glorious future God has in store for us. Someone as well said, "I'm interested in the future because that's where I'm going to spend the rest of my life." That's a pretty good reason to think about tomorrow. But God's word also gives us many reasons to read and understand and study prophecy and to apply the implications of those passages to our lives. The first reason why prophecy is important is that, number one, it reveals the complete storyline of the Bible. It reveals the complete storyline of the Bible. Prophecy is not some minor aspect of the Bible. It's the story of the Bible, from the prophecy of the coming Messiah in Genesis 3, the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent, to the prophecy of Christ's return and the new heaven and earth that he'll create in Revelation 19 to 22. It's impossible to understand the Bible and the plan of salvation without studying prophecy. It's difficult to understand much of the Bible if you don't understand the end of the story. In fact, I don't think you can understand the past or the present without understanding what God revealed about the future. And I don't think a Christian can live effectively today unless he or she lives in light of the future that God has revealed in His Word. Prophecy helps us understand the salvation package we enjoy and God's plan of redemption from eternity past to eternity future. Prophecy is not a sideline issue. It's the heart of the Bible. What God accomplished in Christ is not just about you going to heaven and your personal walk with God. It's about His coming worldwide kingdom, about the reversal of the curse and the fall, about the creation of a new heaven and a new earth, and perfect fellowship restored between God and His redeemed, resurrected people. So prophecy is not some peripheral issue. It unveils God's kingdom agenda for time and eternity. And God gives us glimpses into our final destination so that it'll impact our journey there. To say, let's just focus on salvation and not prophecy is a contradiction because God reveals just as much about the future aspects of our salvation as He does about its present blessings. Bible prophecy is really a powerful antidote to biblical illiteracy because it puts the pieces of the Bible together and helps people interpret the parts of the Bible in light of the whole. As Mark Hitchcock wrote in his excellent book, The End, Understanding God's plan for the future gives a person the best framework possible for understanding the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You really can't understand the Bible or the storyline of the Bible without knowing something about prophecy. Number two, prophecy is a major part of the Bible. One pastor said, "I don't preach on prophecy because it just distracts people from the present." His friend replied, "Well, God has certainly given us a lot of distractions then in the Bible." Did you know that 27% of the Bible at the time that it was written was prophetic? 27%. That's more than one in four verses. Almost every book in the Old Testament and 24 out of 27 New Testament books contain passages about prophecy. 24 out of 27 New Testament books. The only ones that don't are the postcard-sized letters, Philemon, 2 John, and 3 John, which had very specific aims and were intentionally brief. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament, and there are 300 references to the coming of Christ in those 260 chapters. In fact, one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament speaks about the return of Jesus Christ. And we're exhorted in the New Testament over 50 times to be ready for the coming of Christ. The Bible is a book of prophecy. If people ask me why I love Bible prophecy, I tell them because I love the Bible. When Paul gave his farewell address to the elders of Ephesus in Acts 20, listen to what he said, Acts 20, verse 20. "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable." And then in verse 27, he said this, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." And judging from Ephesians, in which Paul wrote many prophetic passages, especially in chapters 1, 2, and 5, Paul must have also taught some of those truths while he was in Ephesus for 3 years, as Acts 20 tells us. If you want to know the whole counsel of God, or as it can be translated, the whole will of God, or the whole purpose of God, you can't ignore nearly one-third of the Word of God. One of the reasons why I'm sharing this message is because there are always those who say, "The future will be what it will be. I just need to focus on the here and now." But they reveal a misunderstanding about what the Bible says about the purpose of prophecy and its impact on the present. There are those who say, "You know, I'm just glad I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters." But they reveal that they don't understand all that God has promised in their salvation, and he reveals aspects of the future to impact the enjoyment of our salvation today and to understand what the future aspects of our salvation entail as well. And then there are those who say, "I'm not an amillennialist or a premillennialist. I'm a panmillennialist. It's all going to pan out in the end." But if God wanted you to have that attitude, he wouldn't have devoted a substantial amount of his word to detailed prophecies about the future. And he wouldn't have explained how your knowledge of that future must change how you live now, as you'll see in a moment. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Accurately handling translates a word that was used of a builder laying bricks in a straight row, or a farmer who plowed a straight furrow, or someone who cut cloths in a straight line. I can't see how anyone can obey this command and accurately handle the Bible while having such a careless or complacent attitude toward prophecy. I would have to say that the pan-millennialists and people who say, "Oh, I just care about going to heaven," are living in disobedience to God's word. Because if you're accurately handling the word of God, you're going to be more than a pan-millennialist, and you're certainly going to interact with prophecy. Think about Daniel, who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, recorded many, many detailed prophecies. And in Daniel 9, Daniel tells us that he was reading the prophet Jeremiah. While reading the book of Jeremiah, Daniel learned that the Babylonian captivity or exile would last 70 years, according to Jeremiah 25 and Jeremiah 29. Daniel realized that Israel had been in Babylon for almost 70 years and that the time was almost up. Even Daniel the prophet studied prophecy. It helped him understand the times in which he lived. If Daniel needed to do that, how much more do we? We need to follow his godly example. See, Daniel didn't say, "What will be, will be." No, his knowledge of the future through studying prophecy led him to take specific actions in Daniel 9. So prophecy reveals the storyline of the Bible, and prophecy is a major part of the Bible which we cannot neglect studying. The third reason why prophecy is profitable is because a special blessing is promised to those who study Bible prophecy and pay attention to what it says. The book of Revelation is the final book in the Bible. It records the consummation of God's program for humanity, history, and his kingdom. And in Revelation 1:3, there's a beatitude or a blessing. And get this, it's one of seven blessings promised in the book of Revelation. But look at Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Near meaning imminent. Certain events in the book could happen at any moment. But the Lord promises a special blessing for those who hear the words of this prophecy. Remember, at this time, not everybody had a copy of the scriptures. Someone would read the book out loud for the church. And that reader was promised a blessing, which, by way of application, applies to us as we read the Bible personally. Then those who would hear the book and those who obey what it says are also promised a blessing. That's a threefold blessing which God promises to give. That's a great incentive, because I often hear people say, the book of Revelation, it's too hard to understand, or it's too scary, or it's too complex. Well, all I can say is that they're missing out on blessings. And God promises those blessings probably because he knew this would be a neglected book by many Christians. Why would we want to miss out on this blessing? We need God's blessings today like never before. We need it in our churches. As this world becomes increasingly hostile to Christianity and to churches and to Christians, we need the blessing of God. So if you want to be blessed in your life and your family, then read the book of Revelation and heed, give attention to, and obey what God says there. That's his promise of blessing. Prophecy is also important because, number four, prophecy reveals Christ, the center of the Bible. Look at Revelation 19:10. An angel told the apostle John, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, Jesus is the heart of prophecy. Therefore, a study of prophecy gives Jesus Christ his rightful place in history, both past and future, and his rightful place in our lives. Jesus said the scriptures testify of him, all the scriptures, in John 5:39. And prophecy does so in powerful ways. It completes the picture of Christ, who is not just the humble baby in the manger, but the conquering king who will return in judgment and in glory. Prophecy reveals Christ and his plans, and for that reason alone, we should study it. In one way or another, prophecy testifies to the person and work of Christ. The New Living Translation puts Revelation 19, verse 10 this way. For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, there are over 30 names and titles for Jesus in that book alone. So prophecy deepens our knowledge of Christ and our relationship with him. It reminds us that Jesus Christ is no longer the lowly carpenter on earth, but the majestic king on the throne, as Revelation chapter 7 and 22 say. The king who will return one day to establish his reign and finish our redemption through our resurrection. Prophecy reveals Jesus Christ, the center of the Bible. Well, what's another benefit of prophecy? Number five, prophecy motivates us to live holy lives. Notice in Titus 2 that God wants us to look back to his grace, which came at the first coming of Christ and redeemed us, and he wants us to look forward to Christ's second coming. Look at Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean everyone will be saved or what's taught as heresy, universalism. All refers to all who have faith in Christ if you compare the very first verse of this letter with this passage. And notice as we go on, what is God's grace doing? Does it just get you a nice ticket to heaven, or does it do something more? For those who claim to be Christians but are living a sinful lifestyle, the true grace of God is, verse 12, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. We need to be what I call crossing the street Christians. What do I mean? Well, if you're a parent, you know that you had to teach your child to look both ways when he or she was crossing the street. You would say, turn to the left, then look to the right, and if it's all clear, then you can cross the street. And God wants us to look to the left, to look back, to how Christ graciously gave himself to redeem us, and then look to the right to look forward to when Christ returns and completes his work of redemption in our lives and in the world. Be a crossing the street Christian. Look both ways. The cross is where Christ paid for your sins. The rapture is when that payment will be applied to you, body and soul, when you'll be resurrected, glorified, and free from sin and death forever. The Bible basically says here, and in many passages, don't forget to look back to the past and see what the grace of God did for you in Christ at the cross, where he gave himself for you to set you free. And remember to look to the future, to the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But there's one more thing you need to do if you're going to be a crossing the street Christian. You need to look down and make sure you don't trip or stumble over the curb. Because while we look back to the cross and look forward to Christ's return, both aspects of God's grace are meant to motivate us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age and to purify us, make us zealous for good deeds, as Titus 2 said. Look both ways, but look down and make sure your feet are on the right path, the path of holiness. If you know that your destiny includes living in a resurrected, sinless, and holy body, and that's your true identity in Christ, then live today in light of that identity. That's what the Bible says in Romans 6:11. For some context, verses 8 to 10 of Romans 6 speak about Christ's death and resurrection. Then we read this in Romans 6:11. Even so, like Christ who died and was resurrected, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, meaning resurrected. Two verses later, in Romans 6:13, Paul writes, present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, raised from the dead, and the parts of your body as instruments of righteousness to God. So Paul says, live as if you're dead to sin and in your resurrected body now, because that's your destiny. Live now in light of who you'll become. When you're tempted to look at pornography or to lose your temper or to lie or to disobey God in some other way, ask yourself, will I do this in my future resurrected state? Since the answer is no, you ask God to help you become more and more now what you'll one day become. Knowing your future identity in Christ, prophecy, will impact your present life in Christ. Prophecy motivates us to live holy lives. It's been said we ought to live as if Christ was crucified yesterday, he arose from the dead today, and he's coming back tomorrow. So what would you change in your life if Jesus Christ were coming back tomorrow? Then live like that today. Be a crossing the street Christian. Look both ways. We're given the promise that as we fix our hope on Christ's return and our glorification, it'll have a purifying effect on us now. Look at 1 John 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him, fixed on his appearance, his return, as verse 2 says, purifies himself just as he is pure. See, prophecy is a purifier. Knowing that Christ will return and that we'll give an account of our lives at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, can prevent us from making sinful choices and helps us to consider, would I want to be doing this when Christ returns? Because unfortunately, the Bible says that some Christians will not be ready when Jesus Christ comes back. 1 John 2:28 implies that some will be ashamed when Christ comes, and some of Christ's teachings bear this out as well, but they weren't living for him, they forgot that he could come back at any time, and they're ashamed when Christ comes. Look at 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know the various labels used for the different views of prophecy, then I would say I hold to the three P's of Bible prophecy. I'm premillennial, pre-tribbed, and most importantly, prepared. That's the one that we need to worry about the most. Prophecy helps us not only look for the sweet by and by, but gives us hope in the nasty now and now. And one of the things that will purify your life in the nasty now and now is a clear vision of the Lord's coming and the fact that we'll give an account of our lives to him someday. Prophecy reminds us that we're responsible to Christ, and that's what Jesus emphasized in many parables in Matthew 25 and how to live in light of his return. Bible prophecy wasn't just given to stir our imagination and fill our heads with speculation about the latest headline. Prophecy is intended by God to change our hearts, to change our lives, to help us become more like Christ. Prophecy is very practical. Just about every time God gives a prophetic passage in the Bible, he includes with those predictions practical applications for life, like we saw in Titus 2 or 1 John 3. We need to make sure that our study of prophecy doesn't just satisfy our curiosity, but that it shapes our character. Because as we saw from these various passages, and I can think of 1 Corinthians 15 and others, prophecy motivates us to live holy lives. Number 6, prophecy strengthens our trust in God and his word. John Walvoord, who served as the president of Dallas Theological Seminary for 35 years and as a professor for 50 years, wrote a book entitled Every Prophecy of the Bible. It's a 650-page book that I had to read for a class about 10 years ago, and it was a tremendous blessing. His book explains 1,000 prophecies and shows that 500 of them have already been fulfilled. Fulfilled prophecy confirms that the Bible alone is God's word, since only God can perfectly predict the future. And since all 500 of those prophecies have been fulfilled literally, it gives us confidence that the rest of the prophecies will be fulfilled literally as well. So prophecy helps us trust God and his word, his promises. Prophecy proves that God is the true God and that the Bible is true. You know, the Bible is under attack in many ways in recent times. But one thing that proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Bible is true is Bible prophecy. If we were going to ask people to come up here and stack all the books of all the religions on a table and had people defend each one of them, they'd give different reasons why they believe their book is from their god or gods. Most of the time, they just give very subjective reasons. But we can give objective proof showing without a shadow of a doubt that recorded in the Bible are prophecies from 700 BC or 1500 BC that were fulfilled in exact detail hundreds or thousands of years later. In fact, there are 135 prophecies in Daniel 11 alone that baffle liberal scholars because late dating Daniel to make it look like Daniel wrote the prophecies after the events occurred has now been totally disproven. And in the series I shared on the reliability on the Bible, in part 3 of that series, I took you through a number of incredible fulfillments of prophecies verified in history, which proved the divine origin and inspiration of the Bible. In the Bible, and only in the Bible, God predicts events centuries and sometimes millennia ahead of time and sovereignly brings them to pass. That's proof that he's the only true God and that the Bible is the only revelation from God. God even challenges people to use prophecy as a test to prove who is the true God and what the true book from this God is. For instance, in Isaiah 45, God states that his ability to predict events demonstrates that he's the one and only God of the universe. Look at Isaiah 45, starting in verse 20. Gather yourselves and come draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. And then, as if speaking to lifeless idols, God says, declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who predicted this in the past? Who announced it beforehand? Was it not I, the Lord? And there's no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There's none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. God challenges and practically taunts the false gods to make a prediction, which obviously none can do. So what is one purpose of prophecy? To validate God and his word. God stakes his own reputation on the accuracy of his prophecies and points to prophecy as an absolute proof that it's him who speaks.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that today's message was challenging and encouraging for you. Gospel-Centered Living is a ministry of Christ Community Church Tucson and is edited from Pastor Steve Gino's weekly teachings. To hear current and past messages, you can find our free sermon podcast, as well as streaming audio, on our website, www.ccctucson.org. Christ Community Church is a gospel-centered church focused on worship, expository preaching, biblical teaching, authentic community, intentional discipleship for the whole family, and spreading the message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ around the world to the glory of God. If you'd like to visit Christ Community Church, We're located between Broadway and 22nd Street on Pantano Road. Our address is 7801 East Kenyon Drive, 85710. You'll find CCC to be a loving fellowship where people grow spiritually and reach out to make an eternal impact in the world. We offer hundreds of ministries each week to serve and encourage you and your whole family. Service times are 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. each Sunday. If you're looking for a church home, we hope to meet you when you visit Christ Community Church, and we pray that God's grace and peace will be yours now and forever. Until we meet again, stay in the Word, and may God richly bless you as you live a gospel-centered life.